Read one scripture together, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. And then I'll explain the chart to you. Gonna have enough, Brother Dwayne?
Just right now.
Isn't that a sight? Looks like I ought to have had more faith and printed more. Praise God. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Let's pray. Father, tonight we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the privilege that we have, Lord, to serve you. And Lord, tonight we're asking you just to anoint our lips of clay. We're praying you'll direct our hearts and our minds together that we might get something from you tonight that would help us, Lord, in our service to God. Just move in our hearts and edify our spirits. And help us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus by the power of your divine and wonderful Spirit. We'll praise you for your word now and your great blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'll go over this chart with you first. Now, this is yours. And Brother Pennington, you didn't get my cord here untangled, did you? This chart is yours. Has everybody got a pencil? No, everybody don't have one. Mom, could you go get round up some pencils? Everybody needs a pencil. Pencil, whatever. Amen. This is yours, and it doesn't belong to anybody else. It's private. It's secret. You can share it, or you can keep it to yourself. Amen. Now, I just love to see it. But the reason I wanted to do it like this was because I want you to be perfectly honest. This is a graft. And we're going to talk tonight about growing up in Christ, our spiritual maturity. We're going to talk about growing a little bit. And I want you, this is a chart for you to judge yourself. To determine your own spirituality, your own growth. And then maybe in days to come, you might can add to that just a little bit. It's your chart, and you can keep it. Amen. It's school before the kids have had health charts, which include keeping a record on their how much they grew, how high they were, and keeping a record maybe in different charts on what they ate and their weight and various things about that. And it kept up on their growth and everything. This is a chart in relationship to your spirituality. Amen. Now here at the bottom, you'll notice in the lower left-hand corner, it says the new birth or a baby. And it starts out with 0%. When you're a babe in Christ, you're just like a newborn child. 0. Okay? And here the line goes up in an elevation all the way to the upper right-hand corner. You see the word perfection. Okay? And down here in the lower right-hand corner, you see Jesus. Now, Jesus has come to perfection, and actually he didn't come to it, but he has always been perfect. But we have him in perfection there, you see, because he is our goal. Okay? I'm on biblical ground, right? Okay. He is our goal. Our goal is perfection. We're born by the power of the Spirit. The regeneration of the birth The new birth by the power of the Holy Ghost as it regenerates our hearts. We're made new creatures in Christ Jesus. All of a sudden we're born again in the Spirit and we're just like spiritual babies. We just always want to eat. We don't know much about anything, but we want to eat. That's the way new babies are in Christ. They won't miss church. They want to go to church every night. Amen. If anybody shouts, they shout. Amen. I mean, if anybody's coming to pray, they're going to go pray. If anybody cries, they cry. Amen. I mean, brother, they're just like babies. They're looking to everybody else as an example, and they'll just get in there and do whatever they can do. They're hungry. They want to be fed. They're always wanting something to eat. Amen. A baby can't say a word, but they sure let you know when it's hungry. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, we're starting out here with this. And this is the rate of growth. See this line? This is the rate of growth. From here to perfection. Christian maturity, according to the Bible, is described at 100%. Doesn't the Scripture talk about 30, 60, and 100-fold Christians? Right? Okay, perfect maturity of a Christian is 100% Christian. Now, it has not reached. It hasn't got there yet. Amen. I'll rephrase it and get it out. It hasn't got there yet. It hasn't entered into the perfection of Christ. Amen. But it has reached Christian maturity, which is 100% Christian. Amen. That's a goal. Hallelujah. But that's not the end of the goal. I mean, otherwise folks would get there and they'd say, well, I've made it now. A lot of folks have got there. There's a doctrine that folks believe I don't believe in it, not the way they believe in it anyway. And it's called sanctification, definite work sanctification. And they claim, and they claim and use the Scripture, they claim that when you get sanctified, you're here. You're a hundredfold Christian. I mean, brother, you've reached it. You're at the top. And there's a lot of them there. Amen. They got sanctified one time, and they ain't ever done nothing since. Amen. Hallelujah. But I believe myself, amen, that there's 30, 60, and 100-fold Christians. Amen. And when we get born again, we start a rate of growth and attainment in the things of God, and we're reaching up to this. Okay? Okay, this is percentage points. 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100. The line's going up. They intersect with these lines here. Now, these lines here is for your record. Your name goes on one of these lines. Okay? Okay? Hallelujah. I want you. Not right now. Or you could right now if you wanted to. And then after the sermon, after the message, you could reevaluate. And maybe you might want to change it. I don't know. Amen. But I'd like for you to evaluate your Christian experience. Where you consider yourself to be as a Christian? 10%? Have you grown to a 10% Christian? Have you grown 20%, 30%, 40%, 50%? Where are you at in your Christian experience? Doesn't have anything to do with the years you're saved. There's folks that's been saved for 40 years that hadn't grown a lick. And they still claim to be saved, which I doubt seriously if they've stayed a baby for 40 years, I doubt if they're saved. I mean, if a person stays a baby, after a certain amount of time and you stay a baby, I don't think there's any hope for you. Because Christianity is a religion of growth. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And you know what? I never read in the Bible where there's any deformed children in heaven. Praise God. You ought to be growing. Hallelujah. So we're growing here, and these lines are for your name. You see, if you put your name right here, it'll intersect right out here, see, with 30%. See how that is? Everybody understand how the chart works now? Okay, I want to explain the chart to you. Praise the Lord. Now, you stay with me. Don't go to sleep on me. If I'm not making interest enough to keep you awake, well, get up and do something. You know, I mean, clap your hands, you know, get a little active, get your blood to flowing. Do something. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to get some of this. And this is a big, big sermon. Now, this is original as far as I know. I ain't never seen nothing like this before. It just come to me this evening. Well, I had this message prior, but this here just come to me. And I won't try to do it this way. Now, there's 10 things I want to talk about first. I've seen some of them shake their head, and I said, 10 things. Glory to God. I'll try to let you out by 11. But the scripture, our text tonight said, "And I, brethren," this is Paul, he said, "I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal," or even as unto babes in Christ. And if you really get the skit of this text, it's almost like he was said this as a digging, or as a something that shouldn't be. And another place he did say it should not be so. After you'd come to the point that you should be teachers. And you still, you know. And so he's saying this like it should not be. You shouldn't remain there. And so he wants us to grow. Now, this is a message to measure your growth. Now, when you grow, growth has stages to it. In the natural, I'm talking about. Now, in the natural, children go through stages. You all know that. And each stage they go through will overlap the other stage. You know, a boy gets 12, 13, 14. You know, he starts, and sometimes changing back and forth. They go through stages. Amen. And children, little children go through stages, you know. They don't have any teeth to eat with. And so they go through the stage, they've got to have a bottle, you know. And after a while, you know, it gets, after a while, the bottles, they have to get rid of it. Amen. And sometimes it's hard. Because sometimes more than being dependent on the milk, they're afflicted with the habit of sucking, having something in their mouth. And it becomes more habit than it does necessity. Because they're eating plenty to keep alive. I mean, they're already eating that baby food, and some of them junior baby food, and some of them eating right off the table, just, you know, anything you put in front of it, and they're big and fat and healthy and doing real good. And they've grown out of that stage. They don't need the bottle no more. Amen. They need to lay the bottle down and learn how to drink out of a glass. Amen. So they go through stages, you know. Children go through stages all the time. You know, you potty train them. And boy, they do real good for a week or so. And then all of a sudden, they'll fall back into that little stage again. Amen. Children get up to the age and they start wanting to grow up, you know. And they get in the act just like, you know, little men, little ladies. And, you know, and then all of a sudden, something goes wrong and they act like a little bitty kid again. You know what they're doing? They're changing stages. And you don't just jump out of one stage into another. They overlap one another. Because they have to get into that stage. And boys and girls have the same situation in growing up. And all these stages in life are serious stages, because they're going back and forth and they have mixed emotions in these areas. Christian growth's the same way. Amen. We go through stages in our Christian experience, and many times those stages overlap one another, And sometimes when we're trying to, God's trying to get us from one stage of growth to another one, or from one stage of maturity to another one, sometimes we get difficult. We get fall back into the old baby stage, or fall back into the adolescent stage, or sometimes we have a hard time taking on the responsibility of the next stage of maturity. Sometimes it's hard to take on that responsibility all of a sudden. And one day we want it, and the next day we've got it, and we're scared of it, you know. Lord, I didn't know it was going to be this bad, this rough, you know. And we're wanting to lay it down, you know. A lot of folks go through that. You know, they got saved, and now they're teaching, you know. And they get discouraged, and they're not sure, oh, boy, this is rough. You know, I don't know if I really want this or not, you know. And they stage back and forth, back and forth. You have those emotional feelings, but God's trying to get you to grow. Amen. And growth requires responsibility. Amen. You don't require out of this 3-year-old what you would out of a 12-year-old. You don't require out of a 12-year-old what you would out of an 18-year-old. Amen. There's different requirements. I believe it's that way with God. And so a baby learns how to crawl. It learns how to walk. It learns how to talk. It says little one-syllable words, you know. And then it starts putting two syllables together. And then it starts putting part of a sentence together. And then it'll put a whole sentence together. First thing you know, it's just rattling like, you know. It's really just, I mean, tell you a whole story. Amen. But it didn't do that all at once. It had to grow into it. It learned and grew. And it's the same way with Christian experience. Now, there's 10 things that we find, amen, in a babe or a baby that can be related to a Christian. A baby Christian. Okay? Go talk about them 10 things, and you can analyze yourself now and see where you're at. We're still got this graft here now. We're talking about it. Okay, number one is, a baby always wants its own way. Huh? A baby wants its own way. I mean, brother, when it's hungry, you just might as well feed it. It won't shut up till it gets it. When its breeches are wet, or whatever it's got on, its diaper's wet, amen. It ain't going to shut up fussing and complaining until you change its diaper. Amen. Why? Because it wants its own way. It gets a little bigger and it gets some toys. And another little kid comes in and puts his fingers on one of them toys. And it'll throw down what it's got and run over and grab that toy. It's mine. It wants its own way. You see, we're trying to find out tonight where you're at. I want to know if you're a year old or 2 year old or 3 year old. I want to know what stage of growth you are. Do you feel like you still have to have your own way in spiritual things in the church? You know, if it don't go my way, well, bless God, you know. Huh? A lot of folks like that, buddy. There's just a lot of folks like that.
Well, they didn't ask me to sing tonight. Huh?
I'd have rather had somebody else sing. I don't know why that preacher done it that way. I'd have done it the other way. I don't know why he had them sing, why he didn't have them sing. I don't know why we didn't have testimony. I don't know why we had testimony tonight. Amen. Now, these are things that people don't say to other people. A lot of times, these thoughts just are in people's minds. Huh? Dear Lord, I'm glad I can't read minds. I wouldn't want that gift. Lord, have mercy. I have enough trouble with things I know. Amen. Hallelujah. But you see what I'm talking about? One of the stages or one of the things about a baby is they always want their own way. That's right. Amen. You've never seen very many babies that didn't want their own way. I don't reckon I ever did see one. Hallelujah. Now, another thing about a baby is this. A baby just can't learn difficult things. Do you know that? Huh? Oh, I can't do that. Huh? I've always said in the church there should not be allowed the word "I can't." Amen. We tell the kids in school, you can, not you can't. Because the Scripture says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. It doesn't say, amen, some things I can do and some things I can't do. Amen. But "I can't" is a favored word for a lot of Christian folks that are babies. Oh, I can't do that. I can't do that. No, I can't. I can't do that. Huh? I can't. A baby cannot perform difficult tasks. Huh? That baby can't go fix his bottle. That baby can't get up and walk. Amen. That baby is totally dependent upon its mother or dad or whoever's taking care of it. Amen. It can't help itself. All it can do is cry. I want. Somebody feed me. It can't even tell you. It just cries. That's all it knows. And you've got to discern what it wants. Huh? Hallelujah. Now, are you asking yourself questions now as I'm going along? Remember now, you're analyzing yourself. Here is a growth chart. And you're analyzing yourself. Okay? Don't forget that now. Don't forget to analyze yourself in the light of all these things I'm talking about tonight. Another thing about a baby is apt to quarrel at the slightest thing going wrong. Babies are very apt to quarrel or murmur or complain or fuss at the slightest thing that's out of place. Huh? Why, there's some of them won't even lay down and take a nap unless they got their blanket with them. And some of them, you can't get nothing out of them if they ain't got their little sucker. Pacifier. That's what you call it. Pacifier. Sucker. That's right. Some of them can't. You can't. I mean, brother, you can't do nothing with them. They're all out of sorts if you don't put that sucker in their mouth. Do you know there's a lot of folks in the church like that? I mean, you got to pacify them. You got to, I mean, things just got to be done this way and that. And you just got to walk around with kid gloves and you just got to be so careful what you say and what you do so they won't get offended. And, you know, you got to watch how you part your hair and how, you know, how, you just got to watch yourself all the time. I mean, you're just under constant pressure because they, you know, they're you got to pacify them. Smile at me, folks. I'm not killing you. Amen. I'm just helping you to judge yourself in your spiritual growth. Amen. Hallelujah. And I hope this really helps you. I prayed about it. And I asked the Lord to help me to help you. Folks, we need to grow. And the only way to grow is to begin to ask yourself questions and analyze your own self. And, you know, if you spend more time on you than you would others, you'd grow a lot more. You know, but there's some folks who will never grow up to take responsibility. You know why? I know a bunch of them this way. You know why they won't never grow up to take responsibility as a whole on their own? Because they always find something else to blame and they'll never take the blame themselves. That's in the natural. But that applies to the spiritual. Amen. I know a lot of young people that's like that, growing on up. Some of them not so young now. They're getting on up there, you know, to 30 years, 25, 30, 35 years old. Amen. And they've never come to the grips of things, amen, to face their own failures. If they fail, if they come up short, if something don't work out, amen, there's always of something or somebody's at fault. It's never their fault. Hallelujah. Now, these are characteristics of a baby, folks. I ain't got to the characteristics of a grown-up yet, a mature person. These are baby characteristics. And these are real. They're real spiritual and they're real natural. Amen. And you're judging yourself tonight. They're apt to quarrel. Hey, I've seen churches split over ridiculous things that really didn't matter. I've seen folks getting squabbles over things that really didn't melt a hill of beans. If you really looked at it and analyzed it, it's just a matter of self. I've seen divorces. If people got divorces over the slightest little things that anybody could have worked out if they'd have had a little desire about them. Amen. Apt to quarrel. That's a baby. Apt to quarrel. I mean, they'll fuss about anything. They'll just get in awfully spikes and quarrel, and little old bitty babies crawling around, they'll just butt heads and just pinch each other and scratch each other. I've seen them do it. And some of them can't even talk. They'll quarrel at them. You don't know what they're saying, but they're quarreling at them. You can tell by the look on their face. Amen. Hallelujah. Boy, somebody. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You might ought to mark that chart before I preached. Glory to God. But now, you don't have to let nobody know where it is. But you just mark it, and then I want you to begin to keep up with your growth. Keep that chart. Put it up somewhere. Stick it under your bed or fold it in one piece and put it in your Bible. And keep a chart. I want you to measure your growth and see if you can't grow some. Okay, another thing is, hallelujah, a characteristic of a baby is it's taken up with personalities. Huh? And you don't know what that means, do you? I mean, you don't know what I mean by that. I'll put it that way. A baby is taken up by personalities. Or a child, baby. I remember when my little nephew, when my brother got killed and all the family. And a little nephew was the only one that was left. And, well, one of the boys was in intensive care, but he really wasn't there. They kept him alive for about 42 days, but they just done surgeries and exploratory stuff on him. They was just keeping him alive. He really wasn't. And anyway, he was the only one left. And he knew it was bad because he'd been conscious in the wreck. The only reason that he lived was he was laying in the back seat. They running under a big truck. And the other two boys were standing up. They always rode that way, standing up. And they went right over and just crushed their heads. And it killed my sister-in-law and their daughter just instantly. My brother lived until the ambulance got there, and he died on the way to the hospital. And so it just took a whole family out. But my little nephew was left alive. And in the hospital, all the relatives was coming in. And my sister-in-law had a whole bunch of brothers and sisters and them. And they were funny people. I mean, you know, they certainly wasn't Christian. But anyway, they'd come in and they're just promising him everything. Boy, when you get out of here, we're going to do this, and we're going to get you this, and we're going to do this with you. And they're just promising him everything. And I got to figure it out. There was dollar bills in those folks' eyes. They're going to take that boy, and they're going to apply for. They was going to sue, and there's dollar bills in them folks' eyes. The Lord witnessed that to me, and I said, see if we can't do something about this. So I went down to the Social Security office and got everything started for my dad on that, and got everything going for him to be the legal guardian, my daddy, and got it away from him. But what I was trying to bring you a point to is they were promising him the moon. They wasn't going to do any of that. They were just promising him that because of the situation. And he was just eating it up. Yeah, we're going to do this. Yeah, he's 9 years old. And so I caught several of the men out there in the hall, and I said, "Hey, I need to talk to you just a minute." They said, "What do you want?" I said, "Look, I said y'all are going in there and promising that boy a whole bunch of stuff that you can't do, and you never will be able to do." I said, "And one of these days, the boy is going to be disappointed because he'll wake up and you can't do it." I said, "Now don't promise him something that you can't fulfill." And they got aggravated at me, and they got aggravated at me more than once before the thing was over with. But anyway, we got it all straightened out. But that's the way with Christians. That's the way with people. He is, or some characteristic about him, amen, that is a natural characteristic and not a spiritual characteristic, they won't ever find out how much he prays, how much he studies. They won't ever find out about how his kids live. They don't even ever, you know. I've seen people elect pastors and not even ever meet his wife. And I've seen people elect preachers to be their pastor that their kids was as rebellious as they could be. Disqualified them as far as I'm concerned is what the Bible says. Amen. But we have a right to do that, but folks are influenced by personality, babes. Babes. I gotta carry on. Amen. I ain't near finished these, and I ain't started yet. Always needs to be taught. A characteristic of a baby is it always needs to be taught. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come waltzing in about 5 minutes late. And sit down and say, "Well, what are we going to have tonight? What are you going to do for me tonight? Are you going to preach me an under, or are you going to make me feel good?" Hallelujah. Hadn't prayed a lick. Hadn't invited nobody to church. Whew, don't get so quiet. Somebody breathe heavy. Not that heavy. Glory to God. Not that heavy. Amen. Praise the Lord. So they've always got to be taught. Somebody has always got to be doing something for them. And then another thing about it is a baby will play while big things are going on. Ooh, hallelujah. Let me get up on this altar. I'm on the altar now. A baby will play while big things are going on. Folks down at Walmart or a Pizza Hut, and you're in the middle of revival trying to fight the devil and get somebody saved or get somebody helped, and folks are fooling around. They'll play while big things are going on. The most important things in the world is what happens in your church.
That's right. Amen.
That's right. Your whole life is to evolve around your church. Your home, your family, your every part about your life is to evolve around the church, the local church.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Ratliff. Appreciate that. Sister Penn, I heard you say that. Wasn't that you said that? That wasn't you? Was that Vicki? Sorry about that. I'll give you a little honor and you didn't deserve it. Glory to God. She's nodding her head. That, well, I heard something rattle. I didn't know what it was. Glory to God. She'll forgive me. I'm just getting her woke up here. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing about a baby? And isn't it amazing how it relates to folks in the church? I mean, a baby will just play. I mean, a little old baby just sit down and play. It might cry a little bit or something, but it just sat there, you know, and the house burning down. If somebody don't get in there and rescue it, it'll just sit there and fry. They'll play while big things are going on. Important things are happening. Amen. They'll play. And folks are the same way in the church. Babies in the church will play around with the things of God and treat them as unimportant.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. I trust you're getting all this. Here's a good one. But did you know a baby has no proper sense of values? Amen. We used to tell the children, you know, when they're smaller, we'd say, well, you know, they'd want something or want to go somewhere or do something. Maybe we want to go somewhere after church. We'd say, well, we don't have any money. Well, you got a check. You know, all they ever seen us do is write checks, you know. And if you got a check, man, glory to God, I got a whole thing full of them that don't have no money. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, they don't judge values. They don't recognize something that's valuable. They're not able to discern it. They don't recognize it, the things that are valuable. Amen. And there's a lot of folks in the church like that. They don't realize the value of things. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. No proper sense of values. Babies have this about them. They'll frequently say the wrong things. You may never have had one like this, but we did. Lauren Leon has. We had one that was really intelligent. I mean, and she never missed a thing. All of them had been intelligent, but this one here was just, she was like Scott. She never missed nothing. She heard everything. And she could tell it a year later. And we'd go to the grocery store and miss her, and she'd be over behind the counter talking to the meat market man or somebody. And we'd go over there, and she'd be telling him everything went on at the house that week. Babies will say things that they shouldn't say. Sometimes folks will say things in the church that'll hurt somebody and they shouldn't have said it. And sometimes after they said it, they go home and cry about it. They're sorry. But you know, a baby never realizes the value of things, so a lot of times they won't ever apologize. A real good Christian, if they do say something they shouldn't, they'll apologize. But a baby won't. They don't recognize the value of things, see? Amen. They're liable to say the wrong thing. A baby's liable to say anything. And it's liable to be the wrong thing. Amen. I'm about finished with these. One of the last things about a baby is this. They're easily upset. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You just preach on anything, nearly, and it just upset them so. They just easily upset. Amen. Especially if they're doing it. You know. Especially if they're doing it. Amen. You get on a baby, a young one that's old enough to know a little bit. You get on them, and they'll make every excuse in the world. I had to spank one last week, little fellow in school. I'd take him in the office and use a board on him. He promised me the moon. Man, it's hard to whip them when they're begging and pleading and promising. And I mean, but they'll do everything in the world, bro. They're perfect. They're going to make it perfect. And not only that, it wasn't their fault. This here was the cause of it. Amen. My mama wouldn't help me, or my dad wouldn't help me, or I'm sorry, I won't never do that again. And I mean, they'll promise you everything in the world, accuse everybody else of being at fault. Amen. That's a baby. They're easy upset. Easy upset. Hallelujah. Can't take holiness preaching. Just can't take it. Just easy upset. Praise God. All right. Let's look a little further now. I'm not running out of time. I know it's not even May 30 yet. So it's early. See? Praise God. Now let's look a little further. Let's look at a few things. Amen. To relates to Christian maturity. Now, we've talked about 10 things that relates to a baby. Well, I talked about 10, unless I missed one. I got a list, if you'll see me later. Or you can get the tape. In 1 Peter chapter 2, I'm going to read the first three verses there. Listen now. Wherefore, laying aside all malice. And you need to look up that word malice and see what it involves. It involves a bunch. Laying aside all malice and all guile. You need to look that word up too. And hypocrisies. That's putting on the dog. That's trying to make somebody else think you got something you ain't. Okay? And envies and all evil speaking. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's Christian maturity. When you start putting this stuff away, you're getting ready to go somewhere. Now, when you start putting this thing away, you see, this is the attitude, the spirit of the world. This is the way the world reacts to things. This is the attitude the world has in relationship to life. Amen. They're full of a malice, and they're full of guile, and they're full of hypocrisies, and they're full of envies, and they're full of evil speakings. Amen. And so when you get rid of the world, you've chucked the world, you've given up the world, amen, then you're getting ready to do something. You're going to grow. As newborn babes desire. I want you to, I don't know if you got your scripture there or not, but if you have, you underline that word desire there. Because that's a key factor in your growth. If you don't have a desire, you won't grow one lick. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. There is your key to growth, number one. You won't never grow until you get a desire for the sincere milk of the word, the truth. Until you want to know what it means. And you want to know what God's saying to you. And you read that Bible and you say, God, what are you getting across to me? What do you want out of me? How do you want that apply to my life, Lord? Then on a personal communion between you and God, amen, you desire, you long for, you want to know what God's saying to you from the Word of God, amen, you desire the sincere milk of the Word. You're not interested in hypocrisy or what somebody thinks or what somebody... I mean, the preacher gets on somebody's toes nowadays, they just run and ask somebody else, what do you think about this? Dear God, it don't make no difference what they think about it. It's what God thinks about it that counts. Amen. It's what the Bible says that makes a difference. It don't make any difference. Everybody in the world can agree with you, and you can go to hell with them. But if God said it, you better listen to God. If you ain't got a desire for the sincere milk of the Word, you're not growing. And you're not going to grow. Hallelujah. Help me, Lord. Praise God. Then he said this here, and this is wonderful. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Ooh, glory to God. You have tasted this experience of salvation. You have got a hold to this revelation that Jesus Christ is a Savior. Amen. That thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, and in thee there's life, and in thee there's life evermore. You've got a taste. Amen. Praise God. You've got an experience and a taste from God. You enjoy Him. Praise the Lord. That you may have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now, in Christian maturity, well, let's look at one more scripture first, and then we'll look at a couple of scriptures in relationship to Christian maturity, and then we'll be coming down to a close. But in the book of Romans, chapter 12, now in the first chapter of first verse of chapter 12, Paul beseeches or strongly urges them by the mercies of God to present their bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is just our reasonable service. Amen. And then he said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. Hallelujah. That's a rate of growth. That's the way you're going to grow. You're going to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. What are you going to be renewed to do? To think like God thinks. To have faith like God's got. To believe what God says. And to obey the gospel and the word of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. If you don't have it in your mind, and you don't get your mind to thinking what God says, you don't study the Scripture and desire the sincere milk of the Word, you'll never find what God wants from you. Amen. Nobody can find out what God wants for you but you. You've got to do it. Amen. Hallelujah. And so be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. We're reaching the top. See your little, look at your chart there. Praise God. You're getting up here to the top. You're going to Christian maturity. That's what he said here. You may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You're climbing up your chart. You're going somewhere. Amen. Now there's two different scriptures, more than that, but these two I won't look at for just a little bit. That gives us the characteristics of spiritual maturity. Now, in Galatians chapter 5, it gives us this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, that's the first word there. But when you really study the Scriptures out, you'll find that love is the basis for all these others. Amen. Because without love, your joy will be temporal. Huh? The world can give you a certain amount of exhilaration and joy, but it's temporal. You see what I mean? At certain times, the world can give you a certain sense of peace. While the Antichrist is going to get the word out, peace and safety. Amen. The world can have and display a certain amount of long suffering until they're rubbed the wrong way. Huh? How about gentleness? Why, there's some mighty gentle folks in the world that's not saved. Don't know the Lord. Amen. But you get crossways with them, and their gentleness will turn into rage. Why? Because it's temporal. See, these attributes without love, amen, and the kind of love that God is temporal. Goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. Any one of them you can have on a temporal basis. But under certain circumstances, you lose it. It'll be gone. But if you'll keep the love of God in your heart, you can display these characteristics day in and day out. Regardless of what comes or what goes. Amen. Regardless of what the world does or the devil does. Regardless of what the church does, the pastor does, or anybody else does. Amen. If you keep this love in your hearts, you can display to the world these characteristics. And these are the characteristics of spiritual maturity. Now turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now in chapter 12, Paul went over the gifts of the Spirit, and then he went down to the gifts of Christ, to the church. He set them in the church, you know, apostles and prophets and teachers and miracles and gifts of healings and helps and governments and diversities of tongues, and he set them in the church. He gives them his gifts to the church. Chapter 12, he did all this for the church. But chapter 13, or at the end of chapter 12, in verse 31, he said, "And yet I show you unto you a more excellent way." Now, the way he's showing us here is the way to spiritual maturity. Okay? He said, "Though I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." Now, let me stop right here just a minute and let's just discuss this word charity for just a little bit. Now, in your revised versions and American Standard, many of them, all the way through the Bible, you don't see the word charity, they just use love. Did you know the word there is agape? It's a Greek word, amen, and it's a word of its kind. It's a word the Spirit seemed as though during that particular time when the Bible was written and the first church or the first age of the church or the first 100 years of the church, this is a word that arises out of the language that the Bible was written in, the Greek language, and they go back beyond that and they can't find that word or anything relating to that word that they can use it to explain what this means. Isn't that amazing? That shows me that God had just one special word and He held it all in thousands of years, and He gave it to those that wrote the Word of God, agape, for a special kind of love. Many places in the Bible, the word where they translate it love is a man's love, or the kind of love that man might have. It could be a man. It could have to do with man's affection. Now, this word in the Greek is phileo, and that simply means the affection of man. But the word agape has to do with the attributes of God. The word agape seems as though that it was a word that God used and unctioned and coined, amen? Should I say the word coined? This word to describe Himself. His attributes, His character, His conduct, amen? And it is enough for our spiritual growth. And Paul said, without this charity, without this agape, without this type of love in your heart, all these other things will be just temporal. Amen. You see, this is God's love. But the Bible says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Hallelujah. Do you get what it's saying? God will put in you this agape love if you desire the sincere milk of the Word. And you place yourself in a position that God can cause you to grow. God will fill your life with agape love, amen, that will cause you to display His character to a lost and dying world. I hope you're getting that. I hope you can get a hold of it in such a way that it'll put such a desire in your heart to look into God's Bible and God's Word and apply it to your life and your everyday living that you'll begin to grow by leaps and bounds. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He said, if I do all these things, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. In other words, just a bunch of words and a lot of noise. There's a lot of folks like that. They're just a bunch of words and a lot of noise. Amen. It don't really amount to much. Praise God. Which one of you guys wired into that light? Turn it off when it's time to go. And though I have the gift of prophecy, now here's a guy that can prophesy, bud. Woo, make the hair stand up on your head. Amen. Here you go. I mean, I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries. Here's a guy that's deep in things, you know. I mean, man, he's some kind of a being from God. You know, some great one from God. You know, there's one like that called Simon in Paul's day. Huh? He had the people fooled. And understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove the mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. This is the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. If I don't have it, I ain't got it. And it takes spiritual maturity and growth to get that. Hallelujah. Let me go on. And though I bestowed all my goods to feed the poor, and though I have given my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Now, Paul begins now to relate what charity is, or the attributes of charity. These are results of having God in your heart. Charity. God's love. God is love. Amen. And it's not a passive, affectionate, mushy love that men know. Huh? It's not an easygoing, passive love that some parents try to raise their children by and lose them. Huh? Real love is strong. Real love is disciplined. Real love demands. Huh? Somebody said God's love. That's right. God is demanding. He said, ye shall have no other gods before me. Amen. He's a God of love. But that ain't the kind of love that men calls love. See? It's a different kind of love. Men's love I wrote these down so I won't forget it. Phileo. But God's love is agape. And it's altogether different. Men don't get that. But it is. Amen. And so we see, then he begins to describe the attributes of love. Here's the character of God. And this is what God wants to do to you if you'll let Him cause you to grow. If you'll grow. If you'll get going on this chart and you'll start growing in God, this is what God's going to put in your heart. This is what's going to come out of your life in maturity. Amen. Charity suffereth long. Hallelujah. And it don't run out. He keeps on suffering, keeps on suffering, keeps on suffering long. Amen. And that just simply means that it puts up with some things. And is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. In other words, it's not vain and proud and puffed up. Amen. Doth not behave itself unseemly. It don't throw a little tantrum, have a little fit. Ain't like his babies we talked about. Huh? Doth not behave itself unseemly. Unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Not selfish. It don't have to go my way. You know. Huh? It's not selfish. Is not easily provoked. Huh? Don't get upset every time. Don't go their way. Thinketh no evil. I mean, this kind of love's always looking for a good word.
Yes,
hallelujah. Always looking for something good. Amen. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Hallelujah. I mean, brother, they love the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, and charity or agape, God's love, never faileth. But he said, now where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Now I know the Church of Christ uses this to try to do away with about 85% of the New Testament. That's right. It does away with about 85% of it and does away with all the book of Acts. I don't know why they read it. Except for to get hung up on water baptism. But it says, if these things are sheets, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. You see, you're not perfect yet and you might make a mistake. Oh, hallelujah. Did you know every prophecy that comes out is not always from God? The Bible said try them. See if they be of God. Huh? Right. You're supposed to check things out. Okay, he said, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now, the Church of Christ takes this and they say the Bible is perfect, but it's not. It was perfect when it came from the pen of the writer, but it's went through several interpretations. Huh? And so, the Scripture is perfect as it come from God.